This is the Christafari Ministries podcast with Pastor Mark Moore.
I got one simple passage for you today. You don't even need to flip there. I'm just going to say it so slow you guys can say it along with me. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Let's start with that. Be kind to one another. Not just the ones you like. Be kind to one another. That includes the others that you don't like, right? Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Now, one of the things I like to do is go around and ask people what they think about Christians when they're not Christians. And one of the things I like to ask Christians is, what did you think about Christians, let's say, 2 weeks or a month before you came to Christ? And one of the common things that I hear people say is calloused or hard-hearted. Christians are legalistic. Christians are fake. They're plastic. They're judgmental. That's what a lot of people think about us. Because a lot of us, let's face it, are not tender-hearted. We are hard-hearted. We're calloused towards others, and we need to work on that. So, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, not just those who deserve it, but forgiving one another, again, that means everybody, even as, that means to the extent of, even as God in Christ forgave you. How did he forgive you? Completely. For everything. Things you don't deserve. Wow. Now, the Lord's Prayer is a powerful prayer and a powerful reminder of this. Jesus was asked, how should we pray? And he said, this is how you pray. And you know, the Lord's Prayer is pretty empowering. You're like, our Father, who art in heaven. I like art and I like heaven. I mean, all kinds of powerful things. You're just like, yeah, this is great. Thy kingdom come, will be done. Give me some bread. And then it comes down to forgive. Yeah, forgive me. Yeah, okay, forgive me on my trespasses. Good to go. I don't remember cutting across anybody's lawn or trespassing lately, but yeah. But then it says, even as we forgive those who trespass against us, forgive us our debts, even as we forgive others. Now, basically, forgive us as much as we forgive others. That is a serious rule to measure by. Am I right? Imagine if you were only forgiven as much as you forgave. Why did Jesus pray that? Why did he tell us to pray that? Because he wants us to forgive. The hardest thing about it is that we've all been hurt. Every one of us has what we call skeletons in our closet, or we're haunted by our past. And that past shapes who we are today. It scars us, does it not? Now imagine if every time you were hurt, you bore hurt emotionally, you bore a physical scar. Now, when you're hurt physically, you know, you like tear your knee open. Obi was in a motorcycle accident, ripped his whole knee open, kneecap was out. It was the most disgusting thing ever. You can see it on YouTube if you want to. Watch it on Halloween, though. But he's got a big old scar, and it is nasty. But imagine if every time you were hurt by somebody, emotionally, you bore a scar. We'd be like that Bethany Hamilton lady walking around without one arm, or a lot of headless people, a lot of heartless people. A lot of people would be rolling in here in wheelchairs because we all have been hurt. Every single one of us. Now, I have some scars. When I was a kid, I was riding my bike home with a bag of potato chips in my hand, popped a wheelie. Do not ever pop a wheelie with a bag of potato chips in your hand, especially when they're greasy. You remember what happened, Mom? My mom's in the audience. I came back down, my hand slipped, and I went straight down to my chin. And if you look under my beard, you will see a big 4 stitches right there. Remember one time I was bucked off a horse. I had buck teeth back then, bucked off a horse with buck teeth. Thanks, Mom, for getting me braces. I hated you for it back then, but I love you for it now, because I would have some big old rabbit's teeth right now. But I didn't hate you for it. I just, you know what I mean. It just hurt. It just hurt. But so I had buck teeth. I was bucked off a horse. My 2 front teeth went through my tongue and came out my bottom lip. It was nasty. It was really nasty. I remember one time my brother, who kicked the soccer ball into the backyard in the middle of the night, and I went running for it, and all I saw was this, you know, black and white thing rolling. You remember that, Mom? I ran, and then, gunk! I ran into the jungle gym, and this was rusty and brown. It was kind of camouflage at night. So when I was a little kid, and people were saying, oh, you have the cutest dimple. You see that on my cheek? That is not a dimple. That is a scar. That was a rusty screw. If I was only about a half of an inch shorter, I'd be rocking a pirate's patch right now, matey. Arr! Which would be kind of cool, a pirate's patch. But we all have scars, right? Now, there's one scar that I want to talk to you about that is the saddest scar ever. It's a wussy scar. But you see this little dot? Do you see it, anybody? Just a little guy. That's a bee sting. That is a bee sting. She's like, what? We were in Denmark. We were touring. I had some socks on. And all of a sudden, I felt something in my sock. I went, whack. Ouch. Bee sting. That was like 5-6 years ago. And I still have a scar. It gets me mad. It vexes me. But you want to know what's cool about bee stings? Is that bee stings, when it stings you, you're like, stupid bee. And he's like rolling around, spinning around, going, stupid me. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you're mad at it, but you got stung and it got dead. So it's kind of fair. Wouldn't it be cool if everybody that stung you, everybody that hurt you just like dropped? Don't you? Yeah, I wish that they had this thing on vehicles where like if somebody cuts you off, and somebody breaks the law or something, all of a sudden, powering down, and the car pulls over to the side, and the person has to sit there for like 10 minutes. That would be so awesome. That would be fair. That would be very fair. But people aren't like bees. When they sting you, they don't even know it. You know what they're like? People are like wasps. I remember one time we were out in, I think it was like Lake Powell or someplace off in some lake, and I was a kid, and we found a hive or a nest of wasps. And so what does any young boy do but pick up the giant rock and throw it at the nest of wasps? And guess what they do? They come back. I didn't have a shirt on that day. And it just came to the realization that you can't outrun wasps. No matter how many flips and turns and spins you do, I even jumped in water, and those things were not only stinging me once, but they were repeatedly stinging me over and over again till my back looked like a Gatling gun just went, brrr. And that's what people are more like. They can hurt you more and more. Now, I was about ready to get up on stage this one time. This was at a Apache reservation, middle of nowhere in Arizona, and take one last sip of my drink right before. It was a nice, at that time it was a Sprite, I believe. And it wasn't diet. I had too much sugar. I was taking a sip and I just realized right as it touched my lip that there was a wasp on the lip of the cup or the can, and he was drinking too. And guess what? I got stung right in the lip and I looked like Angelina Jolie. I'm not exaggerating. I got up on stage like this, and I was like, Dubai, Dubai, boo, 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 boo. I was like trying to sing. It was the most embarrassing thing ever. This venom basically puffed up my lips. It poisoned me, right? For a short time. Now, here's a great quote. The joy of life is poisoned by the resentment of past grudges. The joy of life is poisoned by the resentment of past grudges. And if you allow it to poison you, you end up being the bitter man, party of one, please. Bitter man, party of one. These things, they keep us from being in fellowship with others and ultimately from having a healthy relationship with God. There's a great verse that my wife sings about in her song, Forgiveness. Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. It's kind of cool. Now, you can receive it, but are you missing the whole concept of passing it on? It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You understand what I'm saying? So holding grudges, I said, is like holding your breath and expecting somebody else to pass out, right? You know what it's like also? It's like swallowing the rat poison and hoping that the rat will die. when you're the one who's taking it? Now, it's natural to want to punish somebody. It's natural to want to have them hurt when you are hurt by them. But you have to remember this. God is your defender. Say, God is my defender. The Father knows best. He does. And God is a God of justice. And when we think of God as a God of justice, we are thinking like, oh, he better not judge me. We're thinking of being scared of him. But imagine if you had out there in the parking lot of, let's say, Walmart, a Rolls Royce. And you go into shop, and I see that car, and I'm envious, and so I walk up and I write Christafari with my key all across the car. And I look up, and I see that there's a closed caption camera or whatever, and I'm like, oops, and I smile, and then I run off, right? And then you see me in the town, and you know who I am. I get caught. Long story short, we're both standing before the judge. You have videotape of me, footage of me. You have my autograph. You have the name of my band. Are you scared when you stand before the judge? Are you trembling? Are you shaking in your boots? Of course you're not, because you're in the right. God is a God of justice, and he's looking out for you no different than that judge would look out for you with that evidence. I love this verse. The same God who's a God of justice wrote this, Psalm 7:14. He says, he who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he's made. Does that sound familiar? You dig a pit, you're going to fall into it. That's right. It says, and the trouble he has caused recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. It's like a boomerang. Comes back to you. So what you need to do is you need to give it to God. You need to completely release it and give it to God. When I was a kid, I had this awesome high school pastor named Dennis Wadley. You guys ever heard of Dennis Wadley? Few people. Well, I used to always go down to Chinatown, and I would get my official breakdancing apparel, which included the little Chinese shoes, you know, the ones with the red soles. They're kind of like these, actually. And I would do all these funky flips and breakdance, and I'm not going to try and do it now. But when I was even younger kid, I would go down to Chinatown, and my mom, I remember one time she got me this little Chinese finger trap. You guys ever seen that before? I think there may be a picture of one. Do we? Oh, look at that. These guys are quick. On the draw, there it is, a Chinese finger trap. You put, it's like a basket kind of a thing. You put a finger in each side, and then what do? You pull. And what happens when you pull? It gets tighter and tighter and tighter. The harder you pull. So here I am as a kid yanking, Mom, I can't get my fingers out. She's like, relax. I will once I get my fingers out. You keep pulling and yanking and tight. And what it just gets tighter and tighter. What you have to do is you just have to relax. You have to let it go. But what we're doing instead is this tug of war with God. We give it to him, and then we take it back. We give it to him, we pass the ball, and then we tackle him and take it back. Not that you can tackle God, but we can't stop thinking about it. We just can't let it go. We can't stop thinking about it. We just can't let it go. Is the pastor here today? Is he? Anybody? Associate pastor, come up here. Whoever. There he is. He's like, me? Okay. All right. Here it is. You are my guinea pig. I mean, you are my subject today. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to say, can't stop thinking about it, just can't let it go. You got that? Try it once. Just can't stop thinking about it, just can't let it go. Okay, we're going to record it. And nice. Okay. Let's see what we can do here. This is my iPad. I'm having way too much fun with this thing. And let's play around with it. Let's see what you sound like low.
Can't stop thinking about it. Just can't let it go.
How about if we go like Barry White?
Can't stop thinking.
Isn't that cool? Touch it. Let's go high. Let's go chipmunk. Go for it. Isn't that fun? We can do all. Thank you. Give him a big round of applause.
Can't stop thinking about it. Just can't let it go.
But what happens is it keeps replaying
in
our head.
And stop
thinking about it.
And stop thinking.
It's just over and over again.
And stop thinking about it.
And it just bugs us, but all night long.
Just can't let it go.
We're just like, all night, we're sitting there in our bed.
Just can't let it go.
Let it go.
That's my message to you today.
Let it go.
You got that? If you leave here with anything today, I want you to leave here with let it go. Let it go. The hardest thing is that as you're sitting there at night and it's racing in your head the things that somebody said or the things that they didn't say or didn't do, it's replaying over and over. It's hard to fight an enemy that has outposts in your head. But you can't stop a thought from knocking on the door of your imagination. You can't. But you don't have to let it in and live rent-free. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. But you don't have to let it nest in your natty dreads. You understand what I mean? So you gotta let it go. Otherwise, speaking of dreads, okay, now, let's see another picture here. Look at that guy. I think I saw him beating a bongo drum in Ventura yesterday. That is an admirable beard, would you not say? That is now how easy would it be to untangle that beard? Just tug on it and it'll untangle, right? No. Okay, show me another one. This one wins my record books. Look at now this guy has the longest dreads ever. He's got them coiled up. They would be even longer otherwise. What is that? Maybe 20 feet of hair? Who knows? He's not going on any roller coasters anytime soon. I will tell you that. But these kind of tangles, you don't yank on them. Then you just make them tighter if you do that. You have to let it go. Now show me something pretty and something sweet and that'll make me happy. Oh, everybody say, aw. These are beautiful little ring-tailed monkeys and they are lemurs. And they are so cute. And they're from South Africa. South Africa, nice. And, you know, these things, guess what their favorite food is? Watermelons, particularly the watermelon seeds. But for a long time, there was a real issue because the zoos wanted them because they're so stinking cute, but they couldn't get them because they're so agile and they're conniving, they're smart. But the Zulus from South Africa, they figured out how to capture them. You see, what they did was they used the characteristics of the monkey against them. You may have heard this before, but some of you haven't, so I'm going to tell you anyways. So this is what the Zulus did. They found a giant watermelon still attached to the vine. They poked a little hole in it. The monkey comes along. Now, the Zulu, he's gone back. He's chilling out in his tent. He's sleeping right now. He's taking a siesta if they take them back there. Okay, so along comes this monkey. Comes up to the watermelon, sees a hole. He's like, ooh, this one's already punctured open. He puts his hand in there, squeezes it barely in there. He grabs a fistful of seeds, and what does he do? He tries to pull it out. His fist is larger than his hand, and so he can't get the seeds out. And so what does he do? Just like any smart monkey would do, he lets it go and walks away, right? Of course not. He's dumb, just like we are sometimes. So he wrestles with it. He tries the very first thing, screams at it. That always helps. Darn toaster! And then the next thing he does, he tries impact engineering. That's always worked for me. Bang it. Try and drag it. It's so heavy, though. He can't drag it with him. And so he holds on to this thing. How long does he hold on to this thing? This is a very true story. This guy will hold on to this thing for hours. Like 2.5 hours. He's still screaming, screeching, yelling at this thing. Will not think of letting it go. And what does he do? He wakes up the Zulu. Zulu comes. Zulu walks up to him, grabs him, captures him, and sells him to the zoo. And right now, that lemur is at the Santa Barbara Zoo throwing poo at you. And you know what? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that from here, should I? But my mom is like, oh my gosh. He did not just say that. But they do throw poo. It is very true. I mean, this is like Dr. Seuss or something. But if he had just let it go, he would have been free to go. If he had just set it free, he would have been free. Instead, he's in a cage for the rest of his life. And that's what we're like. We're trapped sometimes because we won't let things go. Now, perhaps you have been hurt. You've been scarred by some of the worst wounds, the wounds that cut the deepest. You've been hurt by a Christian. Oh, man, my heart cries out for you. And it's tough because we hold Christians to a higher standard. In the purpose-driven life, he says, the sheep are more dangerous than the wolves. And it's true sometimes. But the church is full of hypocrites. The church is full of people that have been hurt and that do hurt. And you say, yeah, well, I want to go to a church without hypocrites. There is none. There's always room for one more, no? So come on in. Because we are all hypocrites. But we need to learn how to forgive. I like oxymorons. Just because it has the word moron in it, it's pretty darn cool to me. But oxymorons means a self-contradicting term, like freezer, burn. Jumbo, shrimp. Found, missing. Deafening silence. Genuine imitation. I'm going to vex some people. Military intelligence. Or the ultimate self-contradicting term. Unforgiving Christian. It is a self-contradicting term, right? Is it not? Because if you're a true Christian, you must forgive others. Because forgiven people must be forgiving people. Say that. Forgiven people must be forgiving people. Because we all sin. We have to learn to forgive others, and we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. I counsel couples, and as I'm doing this, one of the biggest things that I hear is, yeah, but he did, and it's always past tense. Yeah, but on our wedding day, she, yeah, but last week, last month, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, it's always past tense. And I tell them, okay, when you drove over here, were you looking in your rearview mirror the whole time? Of course not. If when I was driving up here from Los Angeles, I was looking in my rearview mirror the whole time, I would be wrapped around some telephone pole. Yet that's what we do. If you focus on the past will define you. You understand what I mean? I love to hear these wows, because that's what it's, seriously, it's like, okay, wow. Maybe I'm going to stop being defined by my past, and maybe I'm going to let my future, define my future. That's right. We need to have this kind of, if you will, mantra. Though it happens to me, I refuse to be defined by it, haunted by it, or let it distort who I am in Christ. Don't be defined by it, haunted by it, or distort who you are in Christ. You see, if Satan can't keep you from being a Christian, he'll make you one that's ineffective. He'll make you one that is so haunted and tormented by your past, you've been so hurt that you're of no worth to Christendom. It's tough, though, because sometimes the most important lessons that we learn in life and the most crucial things that God wants to teach us are also the most painful. But you're not the only one. Job. Wow. Talk about a rough time. That's an encouraging book, huh? Ruth. I just did a series on Ruth, and I love that book. Firstly, because it's in the Old Testament, and it's only 4 chapters, and they're real easy, and they span like 17 years or something like that. The Ruth chapter 2 is awesome, though, because these two women go from being just broken, hopeless people in a famine, starving, lost, both of them lost their husbands, and one of them, she lost both her sons. Hopeless. What, you know, who am I going to marry? What can I do? And this girl, Ruth, well, you know the rest of the story, right? But imagine being in the beginning of Ruth chapter 2 in her life. You may feel like you're there right now. Ruth chapter 2 ends with the kinsman redeemer, which is this man, Boaz, I like to call him Bo, who comes and redeems her and marries her. And through this hopeless situation, this just miserable disaster, comes what? The woman my grandmother is named after. My grandma's 108 years old. Still kicking. She's doing great. My grandma's named Ruth, and I'm talking about Ruth today. Thousands of years later. Because through her lineage, through their child was born what? King David? King Solomon? Jesus, the ultimate redeemer. God has a plan for you. Jesus went through some suffering. You think, God, you don't know what I'm going through? He's the same one who said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? There's a woman. Would you show me her picture? There she is. Anybody know who this is? That's my grandma. No, I'm kidding. It's Corrie Ten Boom. You guys got it right. Now, I want to read you her story right now. I want you to really focus on what I'm going to say. She is, I believe she's Dutch, right? She was raised in Europe, and her family was a Christian family. And when the whole Holocaust began, her family decided to hide the Jews. Even though her family was not Jewish, they chose to hide the Jews, risk their lives, because they knew the Jews were God's chosen people. And because of that, they were captured and they were taken and put into a concentration camp. Her father and her sister both died while incarcerated, but she was released on a clerical error, which was really God's providence. And so she went and spent a long life traveling the world, telling people, I love this quote, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. Isn't that cool? So she tells us in her autobiography, The Hiding Place. Listen carefully. My grandma voice is not a good imitation, so I'm not going to do it. So just imagine her saying these words. It was a church service in Munich when I saw him, the former SS man, that's a Nazi soldier, who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first jailer that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there, the room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, my sister's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. How grateful I am for your message, he said, to think that as you say, he has washed my sins away, this man says to her. His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who had preached so often to the people the need to forgive, I kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled up in me, I saw the sin in them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? She asks herself. Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. I took his hand, and the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, all along my arm, and through my hand, a current seems to pass from me to him. While into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness, any more than it is on our goodness, the world's healing hinges, but on his. And when he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command the love itself. Isn't that powerful? She gives just this incredible example of how to forgive people, whether we feel they deserve it or not. And here's a great question. Did you deserve to be forgiven by God? No. In the Bible, God chooses to use the word debt a lot when we're talking about forgiveness. Am I right? Why? Because we seem to want to keep track of things. And if I were to say, hey, can I borrow $100? I'll pay you back next Sunday. When you see me on Sunday, you'll greet me. You'll give me a handshake. You'll say, hey, man. But by the end of the service, if you still haven't gotten that $100, you may want to say, hey, bro, you remember that $100? We remember numbers like that. And that's why God says to do that. But don't keep track of it. Don't try and collect on it. Let it go. We were just in Hawaii, and my wife was filming a music video and for the song Let It Go, and she's going to sing that in a few minutes. But imagine as she sings this song, the image that we filmed, and it was of this beautiful woman walking along all the different vast landscapes of the big island of Hawaii, and she reaches down from time to time, and she picks up a stone. And you look at the stone, and it has things like the past, picks up another one. Bitterness. Each one of them, she puts in her bag. Resentment. She picks it up, puts it in her bag. Anger. And as she continues on this epic journey, and she walks up this incredible hill, you can just feel the weight of that pack on her shoulders. What is she doing? It's just hurting her. Finally, she drops the bag. She's 50 feet standing over this ocean on this sheer cliff. And she opens up the bag. She picks out each stone. She looks at it. And this is in front of the camera. She just starts bawling and crying. And then she takes that rock and she throws it fiercely into the ocean. And it is incredible. It is cathartic just to watch it. And that's what we're doing. I was in this gem store with my wife, all this hippie stuff and jewels and stuff. And they had these rocks and it said love, joy, peace. And that's so nice. But how many people buy those versus the people that actually pick up the negative ones? We're carrying it with us. But you got to check in that baggage. Got to let it go. And this time when you get to the other side, don't try and claim it. Don't pick it up. Let it go. Realize it was wrong what you did to me. It mattered. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But I release you. And when you do that, you release yourself. So I'm going to ask you something very carefully. If, as I've been saying this, if you feel like you've been hurt by somebody and you haven't let it go yet, stand to your feet right now. I'm not going to have you come forward. Just stand to your feet right now. Liars. There it is. If, as I've been saying this, you imagine somebody's face as I'm saying this and you think, oh, I'm still thinking about it, stand to your feet. If as I've been talking, you're thinking of even something that was said to you by your father, by your brother, by your uncle, by somebody in your family that hurt you, even years ago, stand to your feet. If there's still something that is boiling up inside, festering, a wound that has not truly been addressed, stand to your feet. And don't be ashamed. Now, there's a lot of people that are not standing right now. And I'm not saying that you should find something wrong, but if honestly, if you've been thinking about it, it doesn't matter. It could date back to when you were 3 years old. They said sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, and that is a lie, because they did. And we took those wounds and we believed what they said, and that held us back. Stand to your feet. If in any way, because a wound that is not acknowledged is a wound that cannot be healed. Don't be ashamed, don't be afraid, but stand to your feet right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, give us the ability to forgive others even when we don't believe they deserve it. Give us the strength to do what we don't have the strength to do. Help us to release them, forgive them, even though they may never and probably will never even acknowledge it, let alone ask forgiveness. Lord, we release them right now. Let us not be tormented by it. Let us not think about it. When these people are called to our recollection again, Father, let us not remember all the negatives, but let us remember that they are forgiven as we are forgiven in you. And Lord, in the book of Hebrews, when you were done with your good work on the cross, and you died for our sins, and you forgave us, you sat down at the right hand of God. And so today, we release these things to you. And as we sit down, we give them to you. As we sit, we release them. We let it go. In Jesus' name, amen.
As they continue, if you have kids, whoever in the courtyard, from fourth grade down, you can go grab them and bring them back here so they can celebrate with us if you'd like. And I'll let you go ahead and continue.
Awesome. Now, for some of you, it's not as easy as this. You may have to stand in front of a chair and not sit down for a long time. You may need to go to therapy, counseling. But this is the beginning. And oftentimes, healing, genuine healing, begins with a watershed moment. Why doesn't God wipe the memories out of what has happened to you? Why? So you can see how far you've come. So you can celebrate that. And also, so you don't make the same mistakes again. So don't get mad at God while you keep thinking about it. And the other thing is I can't preach to you about asking forgiveness without you realizing that you've wronged others also. Most of the people that you stood for, chances are, if I were to go to them and say, what happened? They wouldn't even know. Or their side would be completely justified. Perhaps you've hurt somebody and you don't even know. Perhaps you've hurt somebody and your side makes complete sense. But they're hurt. You don't have to say, I was wrong, but you can say, I'm sorry that you're hurt. I'm so sorry you feel that way. Will you forgive me? You can say those words. And I want you to think about that. If there's somebody that when you see them in the mall, you duck into Macy's, I need you to maybe even call that person or say, can we do lunch? I want to talk to you about something. I'll take you out to coffee and get it out. Forgive them and be forgiven. Ask forgiveness. Now, lastly, I want you to realize that what we're talking about right here is this. It's horizontal. It's man to man. But every single thing that you do that hurts somebody else hurts God. Everything that you do is also vertical. And so we need to realize that. We need to realize that, like the prodigal son, when he ran away and he came back, what did he say? He said, I have sinned against heaven and you. Heaven and you. When King David committed adultery and all kinds of other sins, what did he say? Against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So lastly, ask forgiveness from God, because he's the only one that can truly set you free. And now that you've come out of this, or are coming out of this, use your story. Don't be afraid of your testimony. Share it openly. The most hardcore things that could have happened in your life, somebody else around you is going through that or something like that. 2 Corinthians 1:2. Christ, Far, you guys can come up on stage right now, because we're going to start right after I read this right here. 2 Corinthians 1:2 says this. Grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to the God of all comfort. Praise to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see that? God comforts you in all your troubles so that you can comfort those no matter what they are going through. Amen? My wife is going to come up right now and she's going to sing the song, Let It Go. And it's off of her new album. And we wrote this, to be honest, we wrote this album after just having a miscarriage. It was a year ago. A year ago today, when we were here, my wife was pregnant. And she didn't know it. A few days later, we told my parents, and they were so excited, and we were so excited. And then she had a miscarriage, and it devastated us. But out of that, we wrote this album of healing. And this song is called Let It Go. And if you have the lyrics, if you guys could put them up, that would be great. Ladies and gentlemen, Avion Blackman. Hey, this is Pastor Mark Moore from Christ Afari. I hope you enjoyed today's message. If you want to know more about our ministry, please go to ChristAfari.com. And if you want to support us, please click on the donate button. Thank you so much for your support. God bless you.